If you are a teacher, parent, administrator, student, and/or anyone who loves reconnecting children with nature, and you want to figure out how to cultivate learning gardens and nature-based curriculum, then this is the podcast, the Outdoor Classrooms Podcast. My name is Victoria Hackett. I am the founder of OutdoorClassrooms.com and the Secret Gardens Nature Classes. I love witnessing the magic that happens when children are playfully learning outdoors. Observing the return of wonder and curiosity when children are interacting with nature is pure magic. This is the podcast that is going to help you capture children's interest and give you not only inspiration, but some real life strategies that are going to help you figure out how to use the outdoor space, your outdoor space, as a teaching tool, so you can enlighten the playful learning experience for young children. Welcome to our Outdoor Classrooms community. We have a very, very special episode today. We have Sophie O'Born here, who is a mama of three and runs the Little Wanderers Outdoor Stay and Play program. And she is going to tell us all about how she got into that program and all the adventures they've been on and just so much more. So I'm going to let her introduce herself. Sit back and relax and enjoy.
Hello, hello. We are here for another amazing podcast episode. And I want to welcome Sophie. She's the founder of Wild Little Wanderers from the UK, I understand. So welcome, Sophie. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me here, Victoria. It's wonderful to be able to chat with you.
Absolutely. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, over the pond, and a little bit of the story behind the Wild Little Wanderers?
Yeah, absolutely. So Wild Little Wanderers is an outdoor stay and play group for families. So parents and guardians bring the child minders as well, bring their children along to our stay and play sessions. Midweek mornings generally, and it's all about outdoor play. It's all unstructured, open-ended, like nature based. So we do different themes each week to change it up because we get lots of families that come to us regularly, so it keeps it engaging for the little ones. And yeah, we've been doing that now for 5 years. I started when my eldest son was due to sort of start in childcare and I was supposed to go off back to work, and yeah, decided that that wasn't really the route that we wanted to take and took the leap. And yeah, here we are now.
Here we are. And so you are across the pond.
Yeah, so we're right in the centre of England. So Midlands, Worcestershire. Yeah, right in the middle.
Amazing. Amazing. So what was that? Again, you had mentioned that it was your son. The defining moment that you realised that children really needed something different.
Yeah, children and parents alike, to be honest. So generally what happens here, I was working in a corporate job and I had gotten pregnant and didn't actually realize until I had my eldest son that actually bringing a baby into the world changes everything. So all of a sudden my priorities had completely shifted and I had this baby that was like coming up to his first birthday and he was supposed to go to nursery and I was supposed to go back to work, and that didn't quite work out because there was no flexibility in the job that I was doing. So I got a different job just in an office to sort of pay the bills, and he was off to nursery. And actually, I just didn't find that anywhere near enough fulfilling, or, you know, it didn't really align with what I had in mind when I was having a baby. So I started the outdoor play group. I'd taken Archie, my oldest son, to ones that were sort of like 45 minutes away. And I was like, this is fantastic. Like I saw everything that he was getting out of it and how much easier it was to like enjoy that time with him being in that sort of setting. And it just gave me something that we didn't really get from home. So I was like, well, what about if I do this? So I literally was like, yeah, I'm going to give it a go. And I started just doing one session a week with what I could pull together. It was like a 6-week turnaround before I was like, okay, I'm just going to launch and just see what happens. And then there wasn't that much of that sort of thing available, especially not in the area that I'm in. Over the last 5 years, it's really grown, which is fantastic. But yeah, I just went for it. Yeah. And I've got three children now and they've all been able to enjoy it, which is just so valuable. Yeah, it's amazing.
It must be incredible to watch the growth. So you have this incredible name, Wild Little Wanderers. Did that come from anywhere?
So when I was telling my husband about the idea, he wholeheartedly believed in it as well. Like his life had changed so much when we had our eldest son. And we were sort of like bouncing ideas around of like different words that sort of aligned with what the ethos of the group would be. And we were trying to think, like, it's a bit of a mouthful, I know, but we were like, it actually covers everything because we want, it's all about children, you know, being allowed to be wild and embracing that wild side of our children that is in their nature. And then, yeah, the little, all of our play sessions and parties and everything that we do are generally aimed at children aged up to 5 years. So it is that sort of early years, preschool age range bracket. And wonder, obviously, there's wonder and there's wonder, isn't there? But they like both are sort of relevant because, yeah, it's opening up their imaginations and embracing that sense of wonder, but also, yeah, being free to enjoy the space and nature and everything that it has to offer. So yeah, we just thought it fitted really well.
Brilliant. I love the thought of each word. I think it's, and putting it together, it's brilliant. So looking back, what experiences in your own childhood shaped the work that you do today?
So I think it was a different world back then. I'm not really, really old, but in the 90s, yeah, we did have more of a sense of freedom and the world felt more, I guess, just slower. So like I would play out in the little close where we lived and there wasn't like structured play setups by any means, but you would just find sticks and stones and make mud pies. And that's what me and my sister were very much doing. Like it wasn't just the boys that were doing that sort of thing at that age group. You know, that sort of thing is so inviting. And yeah, I have really fond memories of that. I also had an au pair growing up who was really, really creative and crafty. And yeah, she really, like, she spent so much time doing creative craft project with us, and that stayed with me as well. It's something I really enjoy, so doing this for work sort of allows me the time and opportunity to let my creativity out where I don't, you know, get much of a chance outside of that. So that's been amazing as well.
I'm the same way. I the crafts part and then being able to do it outside and just have the freedom to be messy is such, it's, and then doing it under the birds and the song, and there's just something incredibly special with doing the crafts and the art and using nature as a resource and doing it all outside. Just is
absolutely for me, natural dopamine, isn't it? We're learning a lot at the moment all about how you can get dopamine from different places, and some are healthier choices than others. And yeah, I'm noticing more and more at this stage in life, like, actually, this feels really good. And it's a healthy thing that feels really good.
Yeah.
You know, rather than some of the alternatives like screens and certain foods and whatever. I'm like, actually, this feels good. And it is good.
And it is good. Yes.
Yeah.
So with that, we hear so much about the benefits of nature. From your perspective, what is the biggest gift nature gives to our children?
I think what I see more often than not is just how calming it is. Mm. We talk a lot about how young children are, you know, emotional beings, and you see lots of their emotions coming out, and that's important, don't get me wrong. But I think taking the child outside is almost like a reset button. And I get parents turn up to the playgroup and they're like, oh, it's been such a difficult morning and it was such a challenge and we've had this, that and the other. And quite often as parents, I think it can sort of set you on a bad sort of road for the day. You can go down a bad path and think, oh, okay, it's been a difficult morning and that's my day now. And that doesn't have to be the case, I don't think. I think the main thing from a parent's perspective is to get outside in nature and actually how much of a reset that can offer to your mindset and the children's as well.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I also run a parent-child program, and it's amazing. And I get the same dialogue in terms of, oh, it was so difficult to get here. It's been, oh boy, we've had the morning. Yeah. And it is, once they kind of get settled into the outdoor classroom and the space,
It is a reset. It's a complete reset. And I think if we can articulate that to all of our listeners and saying just really opening the door and getting out, making sure that you do get outside is mm-hmm. that reset button, and it can change the trajectory of the entire day.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
I love that. So what do you think children are missing? You had mentioned earlier, just and we all know it, in today's world of screens, what do you think they're missing when they're sitting behind? I know I'm speaking to the choir, that our community that's mm-hmm. listening.
Yeah.
But I would love your thoughts.
Well, I think, do you know, why this is like at the forefront of my mind more than ever recently, I don't know if you've seen the new Toy Story film.
Yes.
So that's something I've grown up with, and I know it's very much like a popular topic at the moment, and we've been to see it with our children. And I just think that that actually highlights it really well in a way that you can communicate to your child about it as well, because naturally they're drawn to these things and their peers are enjoying gaming and certain films and screen time. And I think what's missing really is, you know, where you go down that route, and it can be so tempting because it buys you that little bit of peace and quiet to be able to do the task that you need to do. But the thing is that their brain then requires that sort of level of stimulation, and nothing can really match it. So it's very difficult to come back from. And we're all just learning as we go. As I say, my eldest is 6 now, and there's things that we've introduced maybe earlier than I would have liked to in hindsight, because you think, oh, look how much he enjoys it. And mm-hmm. and you're just, you want that happiness for them. But yeah, I think what gets lost is, yeah, like the being able to get that same level of joy from other more simple things in life, and just to hold off on that for as long as you can.
And just that there is a lot of research that's happening now, and just that what's happening inside our brains and our children's brains. I love that you touched upon that in terms of the brain being so stimulated by a screen or a mm-hmm. game or something that, you know, it's like, oh, and we're sort of relieved or may feel relieved as parents thinking, oh, okay, you're going to buy me some time to get through dinner or something. But again, and why the child screams and hollers when that's taken away is because it's that, you know, what's happening in their brain and their bodies, the chemical reaction to that. It's so important. And then if we can transfer that into the simpler things in what's happening and the benefits of what they can get outdoors is incredible.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah.
Lots of food for thought. So have you watched children transform after spending regular time outdoors? Have you seen this transformation?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, with my own children, obviously, firsthand, like week in, week out, they come to the play sessions with me and they get so much out of it. But also the families that come to us regularly, the confidence of the children, even just in the space, they're like the first time they turn up, it can be quite overwhelming. We have like up to 20 children in a session, and it's a big, wide open space. It's not crowded, but that's still a brand new environment with brand new people. So when they first come, it can be quite overwhelming. And to see their confidence grow quite quickly, actually, is just lovely. And like I say, I think I find that a lot of other parents have a similar experience to what I did, in that they find it much easier to be present with their child and enjoy that quality time together, without the constant distractions of life. Like at home, I feel it myself, like there's a constant sense of pulling of like, oh, I need to put the dishwasher on, I need to fill the washing machine, I need to think about what's for dinner. And yeah, just getting out of that environment where there are always so many tasks and demands, I think can really transform your, like, how you're spending your time.
And then it's community. You're really creating this incredible community. It's incredible. Yeah. So wonder is such a powerful word. And I love that you have it in the title of your program. So can you just dig a little bit deeper and tell us a little bit more about what that word means to you?
Well, so as I say, we do themed play each week. So yeah, for example, last week we did like Neverland, Pirates and Fairies, but sort of a Peter Pan sort of spin on it. And it'll be something different this week. And I think it's like the unstructured play element, and the fact that there's all of this magic there to be explored, but every single child will experience it differently. And it just opens up their imagination to, you know, an invite, sort of like a different way of thinking about it. And you see them sort of like engage in this play. And I say to parents quite often that we'll sometimes sit back and just watch. You just wonder what, you know, what's going through their minds. And you can see that, you know, it's really captured them. And I think that's probably the most rewarding part out of all of it, really, is, yeah, you can just see that they are lost in play and wonder.
Oh,
and
I know. It's magic. Isn't it magic? Yeah. It's just to be a child. But it's also to encourage adults as well to bring that childlike within themselves.
Yeah,
to
absolutely.
Get lost and to... So therefore, how can we encourage, or how can adults nurture curiosity without taking over their child's discoveries? Sometimes parents might follow their child and they feel like they have to kind of be sort of hovering over them or involved in their play. And how you just mentioned that to, you know, take a step back and watch, just be the observer. Tell me more about that.
I think it's always important to have a balance. Like, a parent knows their child best, and I think a lot of the time they can follow their intuition as to what the child needs in that moment. So if it's the first time that they've attended this brand new environment and this concept is new to them, then it may well be that they need a little bit more involvement from the grown-up that's there with them. And it might well be that the parent's intention when they booked that stay and play session was to engage and have that sense of connection and spend that time together. So I think there's room for everything. But mm-hmm. what I will say is that I do try and encourage parents to be child-led. So if the child is spending the entire play session at the potion bench and the parent feels this need to encourage them to explore all of the other areas, almost to get the most out of it, I do try and say sometimes getting the most out of it looks exactly like this, because, you know, that child is getting everything they need in this moment. You don't necessarily get that from going to every single different activity, which I think is a hard concept for us to get our heads around as grown-ups. But yeah, for a child, I think being led by them is probably the priority as to how to get the very most out of it.
Yes. And I also love that you said being in the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really hard to do for so many of us, as even as adults. I think kids get there. I mean, they're there. But for us to be, and we're kind of rushing them along to, mm-hmm. oh, let's make sure we do them all, and this is what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah, I think we can learn from the children that, yeah, like, slow down and be in the moment. And it's not easy. It's really not, like you say, there are so many distractions all of the time, and we have lots of responsibilities as grown-ups, but yeah, I think we owe it to them and to ourselves and to our inner child to try and be more present and enjoy play, because it's such an important part of life, isn't it?
Yeah. So what kinds of play do you believe are disappearing, and why are they so important?
I think imaginative play and role playing is fading out earlier and earlier. I think it's still, you know, something that younger children and toddlers engage in more so. But I just noticed that children grow up so much faster, and they seem to struggle more and more to sort of get lost in that imaginative play.
Yeah.
Which is difficult, because again, like, as an adult, there's lots and lots of type of play that I really enjoy and can get lost in, but I struggle with that as well. So I think maybe there's lots of adults out there that struggle to encourage that, because it doesn't come to us very naturally. But yeah, I think that's definitely one of the types that is fading out for children younger than it used to. And that seems a shame to me.
Yeah. And as young as the children are, do you feel or see that children are lacking play skills, that they come to you and they're just sort of like not sure what to do because it is sort of child-led? And that there's not the structure?
You do see that sometimes. Yeah, you do see that some children don't intend to engage in that type of play very often, or don't have the freedom to, because they spend lots of their time in a setting where there isn't that lack of structure or the freedom to engage in an activity in any way. You're just sort of supposed to, you know, take part in the way that it's intended to be used, and that's it, sort of thing. I do see that, but it's something that I also see sort of transform when they spend more and more time there, which is lovely. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you share a story of a child that reminded you of why you're doing this? Maybe your own children or and why this incredible work with nature-based education and, you know, being in nature and being in an outdoor classroom, why this work matters so much?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of cases. I guess it's difficult to pick out a single one. My own children would be a perfect example because, like I say, there's I've got three children now. My youngest is only 5 months old, and I'm already seeing the value that it has taken him to that space week in, week out, for him to just even enjoy it on a sensory level. You know, he's just beneath the trees, getting fresh air, like the socialization, all of these benefits, even just from such a young age. But I've also got a 3-year-old daughter, and she attends weekly as well. And just everything that she's gotten out of it, she's absolutely wild. There's no sort of like, there's no holding her back. She's like, the other children arrive and they see like, oh, that's how it's done. Like, she's getting stuck right in, which is just lovely. And she'll talk about it for the rest of the week then, like a lot of the children do. Like, I get messages from parents to say like, oh, thank you so much for this morning. My child hasn't stopped talking about, you know, whatever the theme was, the Gruffalo, Julia Donaldson we did recently, and they absolutely love it. The children do. And they're familiar with the stories then. So from home, it's a book that they may well have listened to over the years. And then they've come to this place where it's been brought to life. And I just think that's so special. The other lady, actually, whilst we're on the subject as well, the lady that works with me at the moment that's running a lot of the sessions because I'm supposed to be on some sort of maternity leave. she's got three children. Her 1 year old's she's just said her second word this morning, and it was treasure, because she's been at the Neverland theme sessions over the last week. And all she's ever said before now is mommy, but she's come out with the word treasure, and it's just like, wow, like that. Even wow. Just from such a young age, she's learning so much purely through play. Like,
isn't that amazing? Oh my goodness, that's just gorgeous. Also thinking about, so many parents want to take their children outside. They want to spend more time outside. But like you said, we have a lot as adults. Parents feeling overwhelmed. Do you have any suggestions on where they could begin?
I think the thing nowadays with social media is that parents feel a lot of pressure to, for everything to be perfect, for the environment to be perfect. And it's almost like this sense of like, well, I can't make it like that, so I may as well not bother, sort of thing. I feel like that sometimes. I'm like, oh, sometimes I'm going to cook the dinner and I'm like, oh, but look at all this amazing food that people on Instagram are eating, and I don't have much to scrape together, or I don't have the mental capacity. So I think the same thing applies, really. Like, even if you've just got, you know, a small yard at the back of the house, and all you can do is get some pots and pans out of the cupboard and dig up some mud and give them a jug of water, it all counts for something. And that can be, you know, rich play as well. It doesn't have to be fancy or perfect, or, you know, walking down to the local park with a picnic blanket and not even necessarily actually offering anything except just an empty space and see where their imagination takes them. Yeah, there's always opportunities, even if it doesn't feel that obvious in the moment.
Yeah, I love how you mentioned just the mind games that we all have in terms of, oh, we see the perfect in Instagram and all those messages that we get, that we as adults get as social media. Oh, it needs to be perfect. I love that you mentioned that, and that actually the beauty is in the imperfection, is in the cracks. And so, yeah, I strongly recommend. So I'm going to, the pendulum going on the other side in terms of educators feeling overwhelmed and constrained by the curriculum and the weather and the limited outdoor spaces. Would you have any advice for them?
I think, like you say, there's lots to contend with. And I think, yeah, we're living in a world where everything sort of feels like there are limitations and you have to be considerate of lots of different things. And that is important. But for example, the weather, I get messages every time it rains and say, like, are you still running today? And I'm like, yes, I'm still running today. We're an all-weather outdoor playgroup. So if it's safe, I would never, you know, put families in danger. But if it's safe, then we will go ahead and we'll dress for it. And I'm happy to share what that might look like, because I understand that, you know, it may well be adding to a parent's mental load that they need to consider puddle suits and wellies. And I understand that, yeah, that the work may need to go into it to prepare for all these different sort of considerations. But yeah, I just always try and encourage people to, if there's a will, there's a way. And usually, in fact, always, I actually ran, we had a really rainy day in June. June was really rainy for us here. And I had quite low bookings, which is unusual. And I shared on my Instagram to say that I'll do like a rainy day guarantee. So if you come along to the session this week when it's going to be really rainy and you don't enjoy it or your child doesn't enjoy it, then send me a message and you can come back for free.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
The bookings came in and nobody complained. So yeah, nobody came back for free. Everybody had a lovely morning. And a couple of people actually even messaged and said, there's no way I would have gone out with my toddler this morning if I hadn't seen what you shared online. And thanked me for getting them out in the rain. So yeah, it's
because it's a mindset shift. It's mm-hmm. a true, oh, it's raining, oh, it's snowing, oh, it's too cold or whatever it is. And it's often, it may take us a little bit longer to get out there, but it's often that type of weather has more, even the stronger core memories. The children love it more.
Yeah, it's another like bonus layer of sensory play, isn't it? And it builds resilience as well. It really does build resilience because I think it's a learned thing in our children a lot of the time. And it's you know, it's passed down through generations. In the winter, I'd say to my nan would be like, oh, don't tell me you've been to work today, love, in this. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. And in this country, especially, like the weather's all over the place. So if we just waited for the perfect weather, then yeah, we wouldn't have very many good days.
Yes. And that was one of my questions in terms of you being in the UK and us being in the USA, all different places in the USA. I don't even know what question to ask in terms of the differences, the similarities, or...
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not actually that familiar with what sort of how different your weather is in America throughout the year. But in the UK, we get very wet and cold winters. And when I say cold, I mean like up to, say, -5. And in the summer, it can rain any day of the year. So you're not guaranteed that it will be sunny. Like there's never any guarantee of the weather, basically. It's all over the place. Yeah, I think, is that similar in America or?
Yeah, I think in certain parts of America, it's much, much colder, lots and lots of snow. But with the global warming, we've had a lot of up and down, like places that are usually warm or now it's all over the place. So it is a little, and I think that's why we even have to continue having these conversations because of the global warming. We really need to get our children out there to really nurture their relationship with nature so we have another generation of advocates, no matter where you are in the world. So I just think it's so fascinating to you know, talk to different people in different parts of the world and see, you know, how things are going. I know you all are experiencing an incredibly warm summer, hot summer, not even warm, hot.
Hot, it is. That's another thing that has changed a lot in the 5 years since we started. The weather now is so different. But like you say, I think trying to get out in it as much as possible, as much as safe, is important because this is another thing about that's changed, like you say, about play, is that quite often see like children shy away from like worms and things like that. They're like, oh no, like, and yeah, when I was a kid and my kids now are like, yeah, they're straight in there. They're like picking up all the worms and the insects and everything else. And I think that, yeah, building that relationship with nature and not being intimidated by it and finding joy in it from a young age is so important because that's this next generation that's going to like look after our planet, isn't it? So, and the better that they understand it, the more chance there is of that happening.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better. And I think it's so vital. So with that, and while we are creating these connections and taking our children out and even creating these communities with families, there are challenges. So what misconceptions do people have about outdoor learning or the parents that you work with or that you see along your journey?
I would say that's a difficult one, really.
What the story of the rain that, you know, they didn't want to go out.
Yeah, I guess that's one of them, like that it's not a possibility if there are challenges, if it's not sort of like the perfect climate or the perfect you know, the perfect day for it. Yeah, we're sort of like, it's, I suppose it's the resilience in adults as well, isn't it? We've already got so much to contend with that sometimes, like, have changed that change in mindset that's required in the moment to prepare for the morning looking a bit different to how it, you know, how we may have envisioned.
Yeah, I often find it's actually the parent that doesn't want to go outside, and which therefore the child doesn't go. So it's that
leadership
in terms of if there's rain or snow or they don't last longer, but it's as long as they're wearing the right gear. Mm-hmm. Or it's funny, sometimes I find that the child is wearing all the right gear, but the parent is not.
Yeah.
Or the adult is not, because they think like, oh, well, I don't, you know. So
just don't have it because we don't think of ourselves like we've, you know. Yeah. So that can add another challenge, can't it? Which, of course, it's something to consider. But the other thing is that the parents will say to me, like, even if it's a nice day, they'll be like, well, what do you do? What would you do if it was really rainy? Or what do you do when it's snowy? And I say, well, like with birthday parties, for example, we're like, well, what about if it rains? And I'm like, honestly, the children literally don't bat an eyelid. They play in exactly the same way, if not more so. Like, they're even more engaged and immersed in play, and the added sort of like bonus in their eyes of like jumping in muddy puddles between stations. Like, whereas we will, like, as adults, like the parents will stand under the covers and just watch from afar. And it's just funny because I get tempted to do the same. And then I realize that, like, just in all areas of parenting, just the same, like, we're modeling to them what to do. Do you know what I mean? So even though we're like happy for them to enjoy play and to observe, going that extra step of actually putting ourselves out there and modeling that to them in the moment, I think could potentially open up that mindset to them even more.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah.
To get out in the rain and jump in puddles even as grown up.
And to see it and that letting go of all that requirements of what we have to do, and children seeing their parents play.
Yeah.
Like being playful and what that looks like and being playful with them. And I often feel even that time, spending that time together, even though sometimes we want the parents to step back and observe, and then spending that time together in this incredible community that they've created. So it's a beautiful opportunities that I think you're creating for your community. It's beautiful to see and hear.
Thank you.
So is there something that gives you hope when you think about this next generation of children?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like I say, about how the world has changed so much since I was a child, I was worried at a point that, you know, how do we still offer that outdoor play to our children with how much the world has changed? But actually, in the last 5 years, having done what I've been doing, I've met so many people all over the world through social media who have said, oh, actually, like, I think that this is something I would love to do, and I think this is something that we need here. And actually, I think there's places, people and places all over the world that are sort of opening their eyes up to a new way of giving our children what it is that they need in this modern world. And it's appealing. And that gives me hope. That gives me a lot of hope that we can move with the times and still meet the children where they're at and fulfill their needs, but in a way that is more suitable for the modern world.
Yeah, it's like a domino effect. It's like a beautiful domino. And just like this, you and I having a conversation, and you're on the other side of the world, but having a conversation of a like-minded experiences that we're both having, that we work both with parent-child programs. So it's beautiful. And then you have inspired many, many people all over the world to do the same thing that, you know, when you went to a program and then you're like, I think I'm going to do that. And your location is, can you describe that a little bit? I know we didn't talk about that in the beginning.
So it's in the countryside, but we're sort of like between lots of like big towns and cities. So although I'm in a little sort of like on the outskirts of a village, between a village and a town, it's Bromsgrove. So yeah, it's a small town. No one really from afar will have heard of it because there's not all that much going on. But we've got Birmingham and Worcester, and people will sort of like still now travel from quite far away to visit us because there are, like I say, a few more than there were when I first started 5 years ago, but they all sort of have different things to offer. Which is another thing, like, as people will sort of contact me for advice, or whenever I've shared that with somebody else, they're like, well, isn't that like your competitor asking you how they can compete better? And I'm like, well, I don't really see it that way, because I just think there's room for everyone. There's plenty of children in every town. And the more children that have access to these sorts of spaces, like, that's a win. And like I say, they're all very different as well. Like, we've got ones that are based on farms and at garden centres and flower shops. And, you know, the options are endless. We can encourage this sort of outdoor learning and play in so many different environments. There's always a way.
Yeah. And so your main location is?
It's the site itself, is on the land of like a country pub, when they've got like a huge garden with like land attached, and it's like at the bottom of there. So it works really well because there's already a car park, but it's in like a rural area. Yeah, it was just the perfect setting. When I first started, I literally just basically had like a marquee in this pub garden and a few tuff trays, and we built a mud kitchen out of pallets. And I look back at photos now and I'm like, oh, wow, like how far has it come? And it's wild.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. So if you could change one thing about early childhood education and nature-based education, what would it be?
I think at the moment where my head is at with having a six-year-old who is in year one at school, so he's very much sort of in the education system. He spends 5 days a week there, and they just simply don't go outside enough. Yeah, I remember, like, when I was younger, if it was a nice day, we would like take our lesson outside and sit and have our lesson on the playground or sat under the shade of a tree. And quite often at lunchtime we had like free rein of the whole of the school field. And nowadays, I know it must vary from school to school as well, but I think the system as a whole has moved away from that quite a lot. And I think that's a shame. So that's probably something that I would, if it was up to me, that's something that I would sort of like be trying to focus on changing. For the children, just get them outside more and maybe move a little bit further away from like the academic, and try and just let them have that opportunity to learn through play until they're a little bit older. So I know in other countries that they're doing it that way and it's working well, but here we don't seem to be following suit. We're off in a different direction, and I think that's something that I would love to change.
Good. Yes. The force. We got to get all that conversations going. Absolutely. Yeah. So what has nature taught you personally over the past few years and since starting your program?
It's funny because I actually it feels funny to say this out loud actually, but I wasn't an outdoorsy person at all before I had children. I had a corporate job and I would spend 8 to 9 hours a day in an office, and then I would go home and enjoy being cozy at home, go to bed and do it all again. And I thought that was like, I was fine with that. And like I say, having children has sort of taught me to get outside more, and I'm now working outside as well. And the difference in my mental health is I feel like it's unrecognizable. Like, I didn't really realize there was all that much of a problem before, but just, I guess in hindsight, I was like sluggish and I didn't really feel like fulfilled. But just spending that extra time outside and everything that comes with that, like fresh air, the vitamin D and the natural dopamine that I was talking about earlier, I guess it's just taught me that like even just the real simple things in life can actually make you feel so much better in yourself mentally. It just takes us right back to our nature, doesn't it? It's everything we need.
Yeah. So is there an actual place that in nature that feels like home to you?
Well, Wild Little Wanderers is very much my happy place when I'm there with my children. I love it. But there was obviously, for me, there is also an element of like, it's my work. So I feel like a desire to get things done whilst I'm there, or like a pressure to be a bit productive because it's my work. But what I think over that, I would probably choose just like a walk in a local woodland spot. We've got a couple of woods that I've been to with all of my babies over the years. So I'll just put them in the rattling and take the dog and And there's this woodland that we go to that's got all different length of routes, so I can sort of gauge it on the day as to whether my three-year-old is going to tolerate the long route or whether I need to do the short route. And yeah, just a walk in the woods with baby in the sling and the dog and a couple of snacks in my pocket. And yeah, I'm happy.
That's great.
Yeah.
So in closing, if every child in the world could experience just one thing outdoors before adulthood, what would you hope it would be?
That's a difficult one, but I would probably say, thinking of my own children and the elements that the children enjoy most in our play space, I would probably say it's got to be the beach, like the simplest of places. And I've gone to the beach like before now with my children, and I've forgotten to get a bucket and spade even. Like, we've gone with nothing and they can enjoy it for hours.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. We've got a house full of toys and they so often get bored or need, you know, they need us to be involved in their play. We go to the beach and we can just sit on a blanket and they will entertain themselves endlessly with just water and sand. It's incredible.
Yeah.
So I would say every childhood needs that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I have one quick last question. So what does a day filled with wonder actually look like? And if you could walk us through one ideal day with a group of children outdoors from arrival until goodbye, what would we see, hear, and feel?
Okay, so I would say if it was going to be a full day, then the first thing to make sure when the children arrive is that they have the right conditions to get lost in play. So the same as they say in the classroom, like if the children have got, you know, they're hungry or they've not got released any of their physical energy, then expecting them to sit and learn and take things in is just not going to happen. So I think it needs to start with making sure that the children have had a snack and they're comfortable in their environment and they've got all of their needs met. And then I think actually it's important that they just have a couple of hours of just completely unstructured time. A couple of people have asked me about this because I think they find it difficult to get their heads around the fact that there's no structure at all. I've had a lady from Turkey get in touch and say, like, oh, the parents aren't really familiar with that here. Like, do you think that it's something that they'll come around to? And I'm like, well, it's that mine have, like the parents that come to us have come around to the idea very much so. But even if you need that little bit of structure, some kids like routine that maybe do. You could do like a story time to break it up a little bit, or bubbles. So a lot of children like to know where they're at. So just before you're moving on to the next thing, you might introduce something like that. Eating lunch outside as well. Like, there's something so lovely and the kids love it. Like, every lunch for us is a picky lunch, is picnic lunch every day. My daughter says, can we have a picky lunch? And that's just picnic food. And yeah, it's really simple. We'll just sit in the garden and eat. And there's something so lovely about that. So I would always want that where possible. And then, yeah, and the afternoon to just carry on playing. And like I say, that we do get quite a lot of the children like to know where we're at. So towards the end, I know it's like quite popular for people to do like a tidy up time. And I think that can be quite important as well for the children to acknowledge that it's coming to the end of the session and learn to sort of like take care of the things that are in that space. So we have a little tidy up time, I guess, and then do some bubbles. And I give out stickers at the end as well. Mm-hmm. The children have got something to go home with, that can help, because like quite often they're so engaged in play that it would be lovely for them to just stay, you know, forever. They don't want it to end, which is so lovely. Obviously it does have to end at some point. So I think something for them to sort of take away can quite often help. That's always lovely. And I've got children that come to me that have books at home that they've gone home and put their sticker in their book, and they've got a book full of Wildest Wonders stickers. It's lovely.
It's a memory. You've created so many incredible core memories for these, not only the children, but I think also the families, and also being such a model for the families and these young families in such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful way. Thank you so much. So is there any final message that you would like to send our listeners before we sign off?
I guess I would just love to say that, just reiterate what I said earlier on, really, that yeah, like you could, what you see on social media is fantastic. And what I share as well, I'm like guilty of it myself. I share all of the best bits and I show all of the fantastic setups that we do for our children, but it doesn't have to look like that. Just get the children outside, get outside yourself and try and enjoy like the simple things that nature has to offer. And yeah, also I just love like for people to give our page a follow. And if you're feeling inspired and there's anything that I can help with because you want to do more of what it is that we're doing, then I would absolutely love to hear from you. I really enjoy hearing from people all over the world that are sort of somewhere on the journey. It's amazing.
Yes. So all your information will be in the show notes, but can you let us know where we can find you?
Yeah, I'm best on Instagram. So I think it does share, a lot of my content does share to Facebook as well, but managing all the different platforms is quite tricky. I don't know if you find the same, Victoria, but I'm best on Instagram. So you can contact me on there under Wild Little Wanderers. And I share all the time all of the different things that we're up to. So it'd be great if you if anybody wanted to take a look.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful. Thank you, Victoria.
Before you go, I want to share an invitation. If you are an educator who knows outdoor learning matters, but you want more structure, confidence, and support, the Outdoor Teaching Bootcamp might be exactly what you need right now. This is a 5-week online foundations course and is the first step in our Outdoor Classrooms Teacher Certification Program. Each week, we focus on one of the 5 phases of teaching outdoors, helping you build a strong, sustainable rhythm for your outdoor classroom. You'll get pre-recorded lessons inside a private portal that you can move through at your own pace, along with 5 weekly live Zoom sessions where we come together to reflect, ask questions, and connect with other educators from all over the country doing this work. If you're curious whether the bootcamp is the right fit for you, I'd love to talk to you. You can schedule a one-on-one discovery call with me, Victoria, and we'll think through it together. Head on over to our website to learn more, or we'll have the link in the show notes as well, and see when the next Outdoor Teaching Bootcamp cohort is opening. Thanks for listening and for the work that you're doing to bring learning back into the relationship with nature. So P.S., if you are a Circle member and you are interested in taking the Outdoor Teaching Bootcamp, you get $100 off the price. So there are huge discounts for joining our Circle membership community. So again, if you have any questions about this, schedule that one-on-one call with me and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Talk to you soon. Bye.